Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Republican state lawmakers believe the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, with a Democratic majority, overstepped its authority when it adopted a new map for congressional districts 2 weeks ago. A few Republicans have even talked about impeaching the justices. Pennsylvania is one of just a handful of states that elect all judges. Could the dissatisfaction with the Supreme Court decision lead to changing Pennsylvania's constitution to appoint judges rather than elect them? The nonpartisan group Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts has been pushing this idea for years. Joining us is the president and CEO of Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts, Madam Malone. Ms. Malone, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much for having me on.
If you have a question or a comment, in fact, I'd like to ask you this question. Would you support changing how Pennsylvanians select judges, that there would be a commission or some other way, where there's legislation in the legislature right now that we can talk about that has been proposed, but selecting judges, appointing judges, rather than electing them? 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. Now, I made a point of putting emphasis on the word nonpartisan, so I know that you're not going to take a side in this issue, but what do you think when you hear that there are legislators who may try to impeach Supreme Court justices?
You know, Scott, I think what that raises for me is the importance of the independence of the judiciary, and in particular, the public's perception of independence, which I think, and Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts has thought for the past three decades, is really tied to the way our judges are selected.
Talk a little bit more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I think if we have our judges elected in partisan elections, where they run under a particular party affiliation, they're forced to raise money in order to campaign, they're out on the campaign trail, that can raise the perception that they aren't necessarily going to be impartial in their decisions. Now, we have many, many fine jurists on the bench in Pennsylvania, and I don't mean to imply in any way that judges who are elected aren't doing a fine job. However, I think the perception is there that if money is involved and campaigning is involved, party affiliation is involved, you're not necessarily going to have judges who feel free to decide cases on the law alone or the facts that are before them. And it's really the perception that the public has.
You've used the word perception several times. Is perception that important? I mean, even if it's not accurate that judges are partisan, just the perception alone enough to make a change?
I do think so, absolutely. Because I think, you know, our form of government depends so much on the citizens believing in and having confidence in our three branches of government. And the judiciary, the confidence that people have in the judiciary is based on a belief, a strong belief that judges will decide cases fairly and impartially. And without that, what do we have?
Your organization, as I mentioned in the introduction, has been long involved in this. Just a little bit of background, Pennsylvania is one of only six states that where all judges are elected. What you're talking about, for the most part, and have supported over the years, is statewide appellate court judges, Superior Commonwealth, and Supreme Court. Do you support or oppose, on the county level, common pleas court judges that would be continued to be elected?
Well, I think the legislation that's currently pending that we strongly support still allows for local elections. So magisterial district judges and the common pleas court judges would continue to be elected. And, you know, we feel in those cases, Scott, that people know their local judges. You know, they might even have, you know, personal experience with the judges. When it comes to the statewide elections, most people, when they go into the ballot booth, they don't have a clue who these people are. And oftentimes they're making their decisions based on, you know, I so frequently say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or today I'm going to vote for all women, or today I'm going to vote for all men, or, oh, I recognize that name, or, oh, my God, I'm going to vote for the first four people on the list. And ballot position becomes, you know, the most essential factor in the election process. And that's not really how we should be choosing our judges and justices.
And advertising, too. I mean, if, and that goes back
Absolutely.
To the money question, that someone may recognize a name because they have seen a commercial for them on a regular basis on television. Curious, before we take phone calls here, this latest controversy with the Republicans saying that the Supreme Court made a partisan decision. And by the way, we've already received emails from people saying that the Republicans were partisan to begin with. This is the whole reason that this made it to the court. So, you know, there are voters out there. There are people who are pointing fingers in both directions. But let me ask this question. Have you heard from more people? Have you heard from more legislators who maybe are a little more apt to support appointing judges as a result of the controversy over this case?
I do think that there's greater support for merit selection now. And, Scott, I think that that's true for a number of reasons. I think everyone now is sensitized to the importance of good government. And both Democrats and Republicans and independents, I think everyone is very sensitive to that. And I do think that some legislators now are really seeing the results of money in the campaigns, the impact of partisan campaigning. And so I'm not happy that the change of heart might be coming out of what is a very complex and difficult constitutional situation in Pennsylvania. But on the other hand, if we ultimately get to a better place as a result of what's happened now, I think that's all for the good of the state in the long run.
In the past, there have been both Republican and Democratic governors, former governors, who have come out in support of merit selection of judges, appointing judges. So there is some bipartisanship there. What about on the legislative level? Have you gotten bipartisan support in the past?
Yes, we have. In fact, in the last legislative session, the bill, which had a different number than we're currently, House Bill 111.
Right, House Bill 111 now.
Exactly. Did make its way through the Judiciary Committee. And that was the first time in, you know, the past 30 years. This session, we did make it through earlier in the session with a greater majority of the Judiciary Committee in favor. And the bill, Scott, let me add, is sponsored by Brian Cutler, a Republican, and Madeleine Dean, a Democrat. You know, Brian and Madeleine have very different agendas, and yet they both agree very strongly for the need for this legislation. So we do have lots of partisan, partisan support in the House and the Senate. There are Democrats and Republicans in both the House and the Senate who strongly support the legislation. And I'm feeling very confident now that the time has come for merit selection in Pennsylvania.
Are you concerned at all, though, that it will now be looked at as a partisan issue, that, you know, Republicans are criticizing the court, and that there will be Democrats who will see that and say, well, now they're all for merit selection because they didn't like this court decision? And as you well know, that everything we do today seems to be through a partisan lens. Are you concerned about that?
I'm not concerned, because I think that the Democrats who support House Bill 111 support it because they know it's a good government piece of legislation. And they've supported it for a long time. And I think they, and Republicans too, I hope, are taking the long view. We can take a snapshot any moment in time and you know, merit selection or whatever selection system you have in place can favor Democrats or Republicans. What I hope our legislators will do is to look at the health of the state and make a decision based on what is best in the long run and in a variety of different circumstances. And I think, without a doubt, that is having a citizens' commission selecting our judges based on the qualifications, their education, their experience, their judicial temperament, their commitment to community. Those are the things that should be considered, and not advertising and fundraising and campaigning.
We're going to take your phone calls coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. We're speaking with Maida Milone, President and CEO of Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts, an organization that supports merit selection of judges that the voters would not choose statewide appellate court judges. Wanted to get your thoughts on it as well. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave your opinion or a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We're at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's go to Donna in Mechanicsburg. Donna, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick couple points. Number one, I do kind of resent the taking away of my right to vote for who I want as a judge, a representative, or whatever in my state, in my community. And I know it's just a state. Number two, I find it, all due respect to the lady on the phone, infantilizing and insulting about the reasons why we vote for these judges. And I think the perception is already bad all around for representatives and senators and all that, that the judges is not going to make that huge a difference, except if you take away our right to choose judges, you're going to make everything more partisan.
Hey,
thank you. That's all I have to say.
Oh, Donna, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
When you're voting for statewide judges, Supreme Court, Commonwealth Court, how do you decide which candidate you're going to vote for?
I do research on the internet and find what their stance is on certain things.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, because nowadays that is how if you are going to be an educated voter when it comes to these statewide appellate court judges, that's the way you do it. But I did want to ask you, Maida, about the point that she was bringing up, the first point about taking away a fundamental right. And this has been one of the biggest objections to merit selection of judges. You're taking the responsibility out of the hands of voters.
And let me respond to that, because I hear what the caller is saying, and I want to be very clear that that is not what we're doing. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, voters will have the right to continue to vote for magisterial district judges and common pleas court judges. Second of all, the voters of the state of Pennsylvania are going to decide whether or not we have merit selection or continue with the partisan elections that we currently have.
Because it would be take a change in the Constitution.
Exactly.
It would have to pass two straight sessions of the legislature and then a referendum on the ballot for voters to approve.
Exactly. So this is the voters' choice. The people of Pennsylvania will have a choice, finally. They don't have to accept partisan elections for these statewide appellate judges if they don't want them. Thirdly, when a judge is appointed under this new system, he or she will have to stand for retention after 4 years. Currently, in our system, our judges and justices stand for retention in 10 years. So what we're hoping is that people will have enough information about these judges and how they are performing on the bench to make a thoughtful and experience-based decision about whether they should remain on the bench or be removed.
Let me
finally, just one other point.
Okay,
if you
go
don't
ahead.
Mind.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because the governor is going to make the selection from the list of candidates sent to him by the Citizens Commission, and the Senate is going to have to vote by a 2/3 majority to affirm that selection. the voters also have a say, because if they're not happy with what the governor and the Senate are doing in confirming these nominees for the bench, they have a vote, and you know, they can vote out the governor or the Senate if they're not happy with what's happening. So I think voters have lots of opportunities to weigh in here, and it really is a system designed to help voters make wise and thoughtful decisions about judges.
You covered the major aspects of House Bill 111, but let me just read through it just so everyone has the background of what you're talking about. This bill would establish a 13-member appellate court nominating commission. 5 members from different counties would be appointed by the governor. No more than 3 could be from the same political party. 4 would have to be attorneys on the bar of the state Supreme Court. The other 8 members would be appointed by the legislature, with each chamber's 2 caucus leaders appointing 2 from different counties. Half of them would be lawyers. State employees, elected or appointed officials, and party officials could not be on the commission. The legislation doesn't set quotas on the gender or racial diversity of the members, but says the appointing authorities should consider that. The commission would solicit applications and would evaluate judicial candidates using a process set by the legislature. For each vacant judicial seat, it would send a list of 5 candidates to the governor, with candidates needing 10 of the 13 votes to make the list. The governor would nominate them from that list, and candidates would have to be confirmed by the Senate by a 2/3 majority. And as you mentioned, they would come up for retention after that. Before we get back to the telephone, one part of that I do want to ask you about: the legislation does not set quotas on the gender or racial diversity of the members, but says the appointing authorities should consider that. That would seem to be a big part of this.
Well, I think having a commission that does reflect the citizenry of the Commonwealth is very important. We made a decision not to include quotas per se, but it's very clear in the legislation, and I'm sure will be in the implementing legislation, that diversity is very important. And by that, I mean not only gender and racial, but geographic diversity. Because, people have expressed to me that there are many, many judges and justices from the Philadelphia area, from the Allegheny County area, and that judges don't often come from the middle of the state. And why that is, I think there are probably lots of reasons. Some of them revolve around fundraising, probably a number of them do. And I think what will be a great advancement with this legislation is that anyone in the state who meets the minimum requirements can apply for an open position on the bench. So if you're from the middle of the state, you can go for it. If you are someone who is not at heart a fundraiser, or you haven't had strong party affiliation, you can apply to be a judge in Pennsylvania. And if you are highly qualified for the position, you have a real chance.
How, though, do you take politics completely out of this? I mean, I don't know whether you haven't said that it can be completely taken out of this, but just going over the bill there, I mean, as I said, it is so partisan today. Getting anyone through the Senate by a 2/3 vote may be very difficult in this partisan atmosphere. You can't take politics completely out of it, can you?
You can't, and I would be a Pollyanna if I were to say that you can. As long as people are involved in the process, there will be politics. I think the most that we can do is try to construct a system where there are limits on the influence of politics in our decision-making about judges. And I think this legislation, which is a hybrid, it's one that was developed with the best insights of people who've drafted legislation like this in other states, and by Madeline Dean and Brian Cutler. And it is the clearest distillation, I think, Scott, of a system that we think will limit the influence of money and politics in the selection of our judges. But it's not perfect, and no system is perfect.
Speaking of other states, Cynthia from Middletown has a question about another state. Cynthia, you're on the air.
Hi, good program.
Thank you.
Oh, first, though, I'd like to say that it is a very interesting program, and that there are people I've known who would make wonderful judges, but who don't want to go through the pain of the campaigning, et cetera, and having to raise all that money. But it's just a point. In Virginia, in the past, it may still be now, but on the county level, the attorneys, and I'm not suggesting that this be done, but the attorneys would select the judge. They knew the judges, and you had attorneys who were prosecutors and who were defenders, et cetera. And they all looked for the fairest person, you know, the best person for the job. So just another way of not having partisanship in it.
All right, Cynthia, thank you very much for your call. And that brings up a point, comparing other states. How do other states do it? I'm sure there are several ways in which it's done elsewhere. And then the second part of that question is, how has it worked out in these other states? Has it been successful?
Some states have commissions, as we're proposing in House Bill 111. Others have the legislature appoint. Other states have the governor appoint. And I do feel that what we're proposing here is really a blending in the best of all possible worlds, where we do have a commission that's appointed by both the governor and the legislature, where we're looking for people, as Cynthia was just saying, we're looking for lawyers and non-lawyers, so that you will get that kind of input about, you know, whether someone has been fair, whether someone treats lawyers appropriately in the courtroom. And then finally, how has it worked? I believe that it has worked better. I think we have just done a study, and I haven't published the results yet, but we do see fewer allegations of misconduct and inappropriate behavior in states that have merit selection versus partisan or nonpartisan election. And I think what we really all would have to do is do a survey of all the citizens of the United States, go state by state, and see where people feel more confident in the impartiality of their judges and justices. But I am fairly confident that there would be a higher percentage of confidence in the judiciary in states where the decision is based solely on their qualifications and not on fundraising and campaigning and party affiliation.
Let's go to John in Lancaster. John, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I am very much in support of this proposal for three reasons. First, people don't, except for magisterial district justices, people don't really know who the judges are they are voting for in many cases. I speak as one who was at one time very active in politics, and I didn't really get to know who the judges, people running for the various judges were. Second, the people running for judges are not really allowed to speak to issues because you never know what kind of questions will be brought before them. And third, people tend to vote for names that they know, so as a result, I think we have in a lot of cases, many former prosecutors who become judges. Now, nothing against the prosecutors, but a lot of the work that our courts are considered are civil matters or family issues and not really criminal issues. And there tend to be not enough people with a real background in those kind of issues because of the fact that we've elected, you know, so many prosecutors who are used to dealing with criminal issues. And I'll take your responses
right
offline.
Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
What do you think, madam?
I agree with John. I think, and again, I don't mean to infantilize any voter out there. I put myself in the same position as every other voter in the state. It's hard to get the information that you need about the candidates. So I agree with John. You know, with the exception of our local judges, most of us don't know the candidates. And Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts does a great job of putting lots of information up on our website at election time. But, you know, even that has its limitations. I agree with him also that, you know, technically the judges cannot speak to any issues that will come before them. So query why is the campaigning important if these are positions where you really can't speak to the issue.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that is most unusual about judicial candidates is that they are not allowed to talk about issues ahead of time. So very much what you see in a campaign is, I'm a tough, fair judge. I've joked about this many times, but the first candidate for judge that I hear says, you know what, I'm really not that tough, that I'm kind of soft-hearted, and you know what, I'm really just not that tough of a judge. That will be one that will get a lot of attention out there, put it that way. Actually, on the phone right now, we have State Representative Madeline Dean of Montgomery County, Democrat from Montgomery County, who is one of the co-sponsors that Maida Malone mentioned. Representative Dean, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Good morning,
and please call me Madeline. I'm pleased you're discussing this issue and delighted that Maida is there talking about what I care deeply about, which is the bill that Representative Cutler and I have introduced for merit selection.
So what was the impetus for you? Why did you want to introduce this bill?
I think just in the notion of reform and a very important broad reform. Some of your callers have talked about it. We put judicial candidates in such an interesting bind. They cannot directly ask for money, and they cannot speak directly and substantively, as you just pointed out, on issues. And yet they're told to campaign and raise money and not reveal too substantively how they might rule on any issue that would come before them. And we worry about the fact that they're asking for money and unable to do that from people who may someday be before them. As a state representative, I have to campaign and raise money. It's not an easy thing to do, but when you put a judicial candidate in that position, I find it's very, very different and very, very awkward, and it does reduce the confidence of the voters. So I really like this approach. It's a hybrid approach because it is for the appellate level judges only, not the judges like the magisterial district justice that you come before, the common pleas court judge. And it does give people the say, because it's a constitutional amendment. It'll give us, the voters, a say.
I hope not to come before any of those judges that you mentioned, just the way you described it. That's just a personal thing, you know. But, you know, the position that we started this program with, Representative, is that, as you are well aware, with the controversy we have over the gerrymandering case and Republicans accusing the Democratic majority on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court of being partisan in their decision. Same question that I asked Maida Malone earlier about whether that will change some minds, whether this becomes a partisan issue just because of what's the controversy that we're seeing right now.
I find that argument to be relatively funny for Republican leadership to be wringing their hands over a map that is one of the fairest we've seen in a generation. Is very strange to me. So I don't buy that argument whatsoever. We were a nationwide laughingstock with the way some of our districts were carved up and reptile-like, cutting up the boundaries of small municipalities and precincts. You know, the Constitution is quite clear. There are important three branches of our government. The Constitution is quite clear that districts need to be as compact and contiguous as possible without cutting up counties, municipalities, boroughs, townships, unless absolutely necessary. There was nothing absolutely necessary about that last set of maps that we've had to live under. The Supreme Court wisely said they were palpably unconstitutional.
But there are two different questions there. And I was asking about, whether there would be support or lack of support for this bill because of current controversy. But, you know, we're talking about two separate issues in that what Republicans are saying now, aside from whether the original map was gerrymandered or not, what Republicans are saying now is that the democratically controlled Pennsylvania Supreme Court overstepped its bounds when it decided to adopt its own map at this point. And so it's turned into a political showdown. It's turned into a partisan argument.
I absolutely hear that, but we have, under the Constitution as it stands now, not under it, as Representative Cutler and I would like to amend it, we have fairly elected judges, and they have, I think, wisely and fairly decided this case, not as Democrats, but as people taking a look at the constitutional obligations for districts.
But doesn't that go against your legislation? I mean, if you're saying that they wisely did this and they were fair about it, there would be people who would look at that and say, well, okay, then what's wrong with the system if this elected Supreme Court did the right thing, in your opinion?
Scott, if I may interject here. You know, I think, as I said earlier, we've got a lot of great jurists on the bench. Having a partisan election system doesn't mean that you don't get some qualified people on the bench. What it does, though, is to change, I believe, people's confidence in the judiciary. And that's really what we're talking about, making sure that we are selecting across the board the best people, and that the citizenry has confidence that people are being chosen based on their qualifications for the bench and not based on fundraising and campaigning and party affiliation.
Representative Dean, go ahead. What were you going
to say? And just to put an additional point on that, the fact that we've introduced this legislation doesn't mean we think that jurists, as they have been elected, are less qualified. This just is a chance for reform, to try to drain the influence of money out of elections, to try to drain the influence of politics out of elections. By no means am I saying that appellate judges that we have elected are not qualified. That's just not the case. This is a reform that gets at removing some of the powerful influences of money and politics.
Representative Dean, one final question. How close, if we're close at all, to this actually happening? I mean, a constitutional amendment, a change to the Constitution of Pennsylvania, is no easy task. So how close is this to actually happening in Pennsylvania?
And you're right. It's no easy task. It takes quite a bit of time and convincing and persuasion, as it should be. I would not want any of us to be able to lightly change the Constitution. I think we should be required to deliberate on it. Representative Cutler and I hope that this will come up for a vote this spring, this session. As you know, it needs to be passed by both the House and Senate in identical form, two sessions in a row, and then it would go on the ballot. And that's the other thing I like to remind people. This is not the legislature simply changing the Constitution. It is the legislature putting it to the people to vote whether or not they would like to see this constitutional change.
Representative Madeline Dean, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. By the way, I just wanted to mention that Representative Dean called on her own. That was not scheduled. She obviously has listened to the program and knew about it and called in. Just wanted to make that point. Our guest is Maida Malone, President and CEO of Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts. We're talking about merit selection of judges. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Before we get back to the phone, Laura in Cornwall, I'm going to be with you in just a moment because I know you've been patiently waiting. A few emails here. Lisa says, I don't think that merit selection is any guarantee of a nonpartisan system. It only puts the selection process in the hands of professional partisans, that is, the politicians, rather than amateur partisans, the voters. If we had merit selection prior to this court case, it would have been stacked with Republican-appointed judges who would have undoubtedly had an entirely different outcome. Instead, the system of checks and balances has worked. Maida, what about that?
I think the composition of the Citizens Commission is what's really critical here, Scott, because the commission, while it is appointed by professionals, will be appointed by both Republicans and Democrats. And the commission itself will be made up of 13 people, and 10 of those 13 people have to agree on any candidate before that person's name will go on the list to the governor. So you have a built-in bipartisanship by virtue of the way the commission itself is going to be constituted and the procedure it has to follow in order to send a list of five names to the governor. And the governor has to choose from that list. So the commission itself won't be made up of professionals, per se. People cannot be employees of the state. They can't be employees of the political parties. We are truly looking for people who are, you know, genuinely concerned about the quality of the judiciary and who are going to spend a lot of time interviewing the candidates, checking their background, meeting with people who know them and work with them. And I do think at the end of the day, we aren't really exchanging the people's choice for professionals' choices. I think this will be the people's choice through a filter of, a judicial perspective.
Along those same lines, though, of partisanship, just two quick emails. Susan asks, what makes anyone think that appointed judges would be any less partisan than those voted into office? Just take a look at what happens in the federal system, partisan to the max. Marie says, I take offense to the implication that as a voter, am incapable of making an educated decision in regards to election of judges. And it says, do not take this right from me, a citizen of the Commonwealth. Jan says, wouldn't the appointment of judges be even more partisan, as we've recently seen with the appointment of Gorsuch for the U.S. Supreme Court? This would only transfer the partisanship from the people to the legislature at best. If appointments are so much more desirable, why not appoint legislators, tax collectors, councilmen, etc.?
Well, as to that last point, I think we have a tripartite form of government, and our legislators are being elected by the people to go to the legislature with a particular agenda. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're voting for people we believe will support our agenda. The role of the judge is different, and I think we as a civic-minded organization need to do an even better job than we've been doing to this point, helping people understand that our judges are not supposed to go to court with a particular agenda. What we want them to do is to be able to apply the law fairly to the facts before them. And that's a different skill set. It's not a legislator's skill set. So, as to that point, that's how I feel about that. And I'm sympathetic to people's concerns about partisanship. But again, I think when you have a commission of people who are tasked with looking to the qualifications of the candidates and not requiring them to go out and raise money and campaign, it's really the money, I think, that's distorting the judiciary, because you can have a candidate who is not as highly qualified as others who once sit on the bench, and if they are able to secure substantial campaign funds from light money or dark money or however we want to characterize it, they can find themselves on the bench and not be the best qualified candidates for the citizens of Pennsylvania. And we're all susceptible to the sway of commercial. You know, if some candidate has very little money and can't do any commercials, and another candidate is supported by PACs who have their own agenda, which is not necessarily the agenda of the citizens of Pennsylvania, those people might well be elected to the bench. And they're not necessarily the judges we want on the bench.
Let's take a few more phone calls. Laura is in Cornwall. Laura, thanks for being patient.
Oh, you're welcome. The gist of today's argument, which I commend you for airing, by the way, is that judges need to be selected by people who have a deep understanding of the nature of the position, how well people have done the job in the past, if they have done the job in the past, what is their spectrum of experience in the various matters they will be considering on the bench. Also, what is their demeanor? Are they respectful to the parties? Are they a careful, attentive person in attending to the issues that are before them? Are they good writers? Can they explain themselves well? And all these things are things that cannot be put on billboards, which is how we currently elect judges, to my great sorrow.
Laura, I couldn't have said it better.
Hey, Laura, thank you very much for your call. But, you know, under the current system, you've mentioned several times that your organization, and we know the bars, the various bar associations also put out ratings for judges. How can voters, how can they research a judge, especially when a judge can't, or a judicial candidate, can't talk about where they stand on certain issues?
Well, as one of the callers mentioned, there is a lot of information online if you know where to look for it. You can go to our website, Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts. You can go to the League of Women Voters, the Committee of 70 here on the, you know, in the eastern part of the state. The bar associations have commissions that look at the candidates and do characterize them as not qualified or qualified or highly qualified. But again, Scott, at the end of the day, the money that goes into these campaigns to elect people doesn't necessarily match the recommendations from organizations who are looking deeply into these candidates' backgrounds.
Let's take a few more calls. Bob is in Harrisburg. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Scott. Good
morning.
And guest. For years, as a voter in Pennsylvania, I would look at the names and realize I hadn't vetted them. I hadn't really done research. And then sometimes I would choose a name based on gender or thinking, well, this person sounds like they'd be a good person. And I think a lot of voters actually work out of that same ignorance. So it makes no sense at all for me for the voters to actually be the ones finally vetting judicial candidates. I mean, it's kind of like the human resource people in a factory telling the factory workers they should vote for the next person instead of actually choosing and vetting effectively. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all for this. And I'm all for a constitutional convention in which they also put in term limits for the legislators. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Bob.
Let's go to Joe in Dallastown. Joe, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day in Pennsylvania.
It really is. It really is.
The comment I have for your guest is there a change in tone with her proposal based on the slate of judges that ran as a block of Democrats in the last election for the Supreme Court? I'm just wondering if that is actually considered and would support her idea for the reform proposals. I think you've covered quite a few good points, but the last election really skewed the bias of the Supreme Court judges, I think, in this case.
All right. Thank you very much. Party considered?
You know, I think the slate of candidates who ran in the, I think he's referring to the 2015 election for the Supreme Court. Again, I think many highly qualified people for the bench, no judgment whatsoever about that. But I do think that the amount of money that went into that campaign, $16 million all told for the races in 2015, definitely had an impact on the results of the election. I think it's hard to argue otherwise. We have been at this, though, for 30 years, so no particular election has influenced our support for merit selection. We just believe as an organization, as Representative Dean said, it's a good government reform effort. It is something that we believe deeply is the right thing to do. We are nonpartisan. I'm not looking to support Democrats or Republicans on the bench. We really are looking to have the most highly qualified judges who do not appear to have any allegiance to any particular PAC or any particular party.
I kind of touched on this very early on in our conversation, but you just mentioned that your organization has been at this for 30 years. That's a long time, and we still are electing judges here in Pennsylvania. So I go back to my original question of whether this controversy gets more people interested in how judges are actually selected.
You know, I hope it does get people more interested in the how, Scott. I think if it does that, then despite the crisis it's precipitating, it will be a good thing because as a state, we really need to pay attention to this. Our judiciary is a critical part of our tripartite government, and the way our judges are selected is, I think, the underpinning of the citizenry confidence in that branch of government. So, crisis aside, I hope everyone's really looking at this issue seriously.
Let's go to Liz in Mechanicsburg. Liz, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to comment that prior to when I heard the topic, I was against it as a voter because I didn't want to lose that right. But after listening to the conversation, I've changed my position. I think as a voter, I don't have time to vet judges. I only vote the party most of the time, and I think it would be wonderful if we had a commission that could, pick the best candidate from across the state. We would have more representation from the rural areas of Pennsylvania. So I just wanted to comment that I think this is a great idea, and I appreciate you having this conversation today.
Liz, thank you very much.
Let me just
say that that's not the purpose of me having this conversation, is to change people's minds.
But I'm very happy to hear that.
I'm sure you are. But it's to get people thinking about this. Let's see. We had a question from Sue. Says, isn't part of the process of wearing out the good candidates from the bad, or weeding out, to be done by the parties themselves when backing candidates to run?
Well, I guess one might assume that that's what happens, and I have not been privy to any of the, behind-the-scenes work that the parties do in selecting candidates, but I think they might well have other criteria in mind when they're selecting candidates. You know, they know that the candidates need to raise money, so they might well choose candidates who are able to raise money over candidates who aren't. And as I've said several times, in the past hour, fundraising is not a skill that a judge needs to have.
And I have one last email. We only have about 45 seconds, but I think this is a different point of view on this. It says, I support state selections for a higher court, state elections, I should say, but would support public financing of these elections, eliminate any campaign contributions to the candidates. What about that?
Well, I think there as well. As long as we're still having campaigning, you're going to have judges out there who are not permitted to say how they would rule on any given set of facts. And So you still have this same kind of partisan electioneering going on that I think is inconsistent.
Maida Malone is president and CEO of the Pennsylvania for Modern Courts organization. Maida, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Scott. It was a pleasure.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, obviously a lot of people talking about the school safety, the school shootings. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to hear from the State Education Association, Teachers Union, school administrators, and principals.